Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Non-Productive's March Madness Women in Fiction Tournament.
Woo!
We are at the Sweet 16.
Sports and junk.
Yes!
Touch pass.
Right. Foul. thank you for joining us tonight. As I said, we're at the Sweet 16. My name is Big Papa Pete. I am joined tonight in studio by Al, Nate, and some other guy.
Whoa, I have a name.
Jimmy Jojohn.
Hi, Jimmy.
Jama James.
JJ.
Yes.
James.
Yes.
There we go. Thank you.
I like JJ.
I'm so excited for the Sweet 16, folks. How about you?
I'm super excited. It's kind of like when you get down to this is when it starts like mattering because you're clinging on to a character and you're like, all right, I think they're going to take it all the way, and then something happens and you're like, no.
Yeah.
This is when the real feelings come out. This is when we like fight between ourselves, like blows.
Well, comes, I'm ready to go.
Comes to blows.
I'm ready to throw down all the time.
This is when the real dark horses begin to show up. Like we could have all said, like, or been surprised why one character or another was there. But when you get to the 16, it's like, oh no, this is where the random obscure book character that we didn't expect to be here is randomly going to rise to the top. Like, this is when you start putting money on it.
Yes, I'm shaking. I feel like I'm so amped up. Like I just drank a half a can of Surge.
Wow. Yeah. Didn't they bring Surge back?
They did, actually. I found it at the local Wawa.
Does it still, like, lower your sperm count?
I assume so.
I would hope
okay. So. How about we not talk about lowered sperm counts on our Women in Fiction March Madness?
No, I'm into it.
You know what? Alternative forms of birth control are always welcome.
There you go. Surge, so, alternative birth control.
It's about options.
Thank you, Wawa.
So we had a couple of different brackets, or we have a couple of different regions, but let's hit the books. What did the results come in with?
First region is the Hermione region.
Exciting. Our winner from our previous Women in Fiction Smart Madness took it all, was Hermione.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And just to remind you, we did name the different regions, the four regions, after the top four finishers in our last Women in Fiction contest, kind of as a way to honor them and to give new characters a chance.
Yep.
So, that being said, game one in the Hermione region was Luna Lovegood from Harry Potter versus Eowyn from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, boy.
I mean, this is interesting because once again we have, like, because I remember way back in the day when Harry Potter first came out, everyone was comparing, like, it to Lord of the Rings for some weird reason that I still don't really understand.
Because
fantasy.
At that point, magic. Yeah,
yeah, I guess.
Fantasy,
all
magic,
fantasy is
nobody
the same.
Knew anything else.
Yeah.
I think they mentioned a troll. You know, that's...
yeah, there
in
you go.
The first book, yeah.
Yeah. That's their commonality, trolls. I mean,
no, that was actually America's response. It's like, oh, it must be the same thing because
exact
I think they mentioned
thing.
A troll.
Yeah.
But I feel like Luna has definitely been like a little bit of a... I don't know. I wouldn't have placed large bets on Luna way back in the day. But, you know, now I feel like she's come out as a strong character. Although my extensive knowledge of Lord of the Rings is mostly from the movies. I mean, I read the book ages ago.
I mean, it is surprising that she's here. But as much as Frank decided to kind of poo-poo on why she was here last week, I still think the individuality of the character is enough to shine through and get her to the point. I also genuinely feel like she's probably the better character out of the two. I mean, Eowyn's a great and interesting character, but I will say that a lot of what's interesting about her is due to the performance of the actress in the film and not so much from the original source material, which isn't bad and progressive for its time, for sure. But again, I just feel like Luna just is the better, well-written character here.
If we start discussing actresses, though, then Luna's definitely going to start pulling ahead. The story of her actress is very intriguing.
Exactly.
The actress for Luna Lovegood had an eating disorder, and she was in the hospital, and she spoke in a letter or something to J.K. Rowling and said, you know, that she was very sick, and she was very, very sick. She was in the hospital for a really long time, and J.K. Rowling said, you know, if you can beat this, we'll get you in the next movie. And so she got the... She got better. She got out of the hospital. Her weight went back up, and then she got a what do you call it? An interview audition? For a movie. An audition. An interview for a movie. And they just loved her. She turned out to be a great actress. She turned out to be really, really skilled. And she nailed it in those movies.
Yeah.
I liked Miranda Otto's story for how she got the role of Eowyn, which was she's an actress and wanted a job. And they said, can you be in New Zealand? And she said, probably.
Not to discount the value of doing the job well.
No, Miranda Otto's a fabulous actress. True. And I would expect to see a bit of a bump for her because she's in the new 24 series on Fox right now.
What's that?
The TV show 24?
Got nothing.
Yeah, okay. Well.
I'm afraid of numbers.
Don't worry about that. This was a very tight race.
Uh-huh.
Came down to the wire, just a couple of votes difference.
Wow.
Here. I'm scared.
And at the end of it all, Luna Lovegood advances to the Elite
Eight. This is crazy to me. Like, I mean, even though I voted for her, I'm still surprised that she's here. It's like,
No, wow. I'm into it. I'm super into it. I have no idea who Eowyn is. I'm real sorry. I don't like Lord of the Rings. But yay, Luna!
I'm really hoping we, at some point, can shut up the people who are saying, oh, it's just people voting for Hermione, but they can't vote for Hermione, so they're voting for Luna.
Yeah.
Luna's her own character, and she deserves to make it this far, so on all you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Luna's a great character. Personally, I wouldn't have voted for Hermione, so.
Yeah. I'm excited. Like Al said, the individuality of the character, I think there's just, out of all the characters in this competition, she is really unique and really, really kind of interesting in that way, and that's cool.
Agreed. Agreed. Speaking of unique and interesting characters.
Go on.
Look at that transition. I pat myself on the back for that one.
Nailed it.
Thank you, James, for the setup. Game two in the Hermione region is Brienne of Tarth from Game of Thrones versus Donna Noble from Doctor Who.
I do have a favorite.
Two loyal companions.
Yeah. Actually. Wait, I mean, I'm thinking of I mean...
Brienne is incredibly loyal. That's
but
her thing.
But she's not a companion. She has a loyal companion.
I would call her a companion because she continuously allies herself with other people. Like, I'll fight for you to the death, and then they die. And she's like, well, crap, I'll fight for you to the death, and then they die. Crap!
Clearly a more skilled and better person than whoever she winds up
serving. You know, she continuously is a loyal companion just to, like, eight different people until they die.
Yeah.
I like Donna. I think she's important for Doctor Who, particularly Doctor Who at that time. We hadn't had a companion that's, that wasn't kind of positioned as this romantic love interest. So that was exciting. But I don't know. I think I'm with Nate on this one. I feel like Brienne brings more to the table, all over, not just to Doctor Who mythology and Doctor Who canon. Brienne is loyal. She's strong. She's one of the few characters I actually give a damn about on Game of Thrones.
She's one of like three characters in Game of Thrones that I care if they die.
I feel like I'm too jaded from Game of Thrones at this point. Like, it's very strange to say, but I think like maybe the rest of the show has poisoned me or whatever it is. But like as interesting as that show is, and as interesting a character as being a Tarth is, I just like Donna more. I just like think she's more compelling to me as a character. And that's weird, just like as there clearly is theoretically more depth to Brienne of Tarth, but I enjoy watching Donna struggle more. I enjoy watching her like become like this like very like never stop. She never stops being independent. It's one of those instances of a character that enters into the story self-actualized. But I definitely feel like that character still goes on a journey, still is integral to many points of that story. And while it is kind of the Doctor's, Donna just rolls with that and becomes the focus of those stories, even if necessarily she's not supposed to be the star. Like, I'm remiss. I look back on those years. I look back on her season, and I think, oh, she was the best part in it. And Davy's era was before the Moffat problem showed up, so that says something.
I know we've talked about this character at length now, and that are a couple podcasts into this competition. Is Donna the Doctor? Like, the nurse companion?
No.
Okay. I don't know who she is then. We haven't really established which
she's
one
the
she
redhead?
Is. I don't remember.
Donna is the third of the original companions. There was Rose, there was Martha.
Well,
and
that, I wouldn't
there
say
was,
original.
Well, of the rebooted. The rebooted.
Yeah, I would
who,
say that.
Sorry.
I,
yeah. She's the third of the rebooted Who companions. And she basically, she was a comedian. The actress who plays her is a comedian who did a one-off with Doctor Who in one episode called the Bride or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was just a fun episode. She was a famous, she's a famous English comedian, and she was very funny in it and enjoyable. But she and the staff of Doctor Who and David Tennant and everybody really enjoyed working with her. So when they were looking for a new companion after the character who played Martha Jones left, they asked her if she would come back, and she did.
Wow.
And it was interesting in the sense of Doctor Who because, like I said, Martha, you know, Rose was the, you know, in kind of like in love with the Doctor, and the Doctor was in love with Rose, and yeah, that was the big relationship for the first group of companions. Martha had this kind of unrequited love thing going on, but Donna was like, I don't have any feelings for you. You know, like, stay at arm's distance, chum. Mm-hmm. You know, nice pat on the back.
I'm here for space.
Yeah, it's like, I'm here for the adventure. Which was refreshing to Doctor Who.
That's pretty cool. I'm
into
that.
Yeah, yeah, it was refreshing to New Who. I'll take that back.
I've seen some Doctor Who. I know the Doctor companion who was an actual real Doctor. And then I remember some episodes of Rose. I've seen some of the original pre-reboot Doctor Who, like the classic stuff. But I'm not super familiar with Who lore.
Yeah, that was a very interesting character. She lost.
wow.
Brienne of Tarth
eat it.
Did take Woo! The competition. It was, again, very close. Our fans had it straight down the middle. Dead tie. Ooh. But the when we turned the voting open to the public, a couple of votes nudged Brienne of Tarth over.
Wow.
So,
thank you, public.
She will live to avenge again.
Yeah, there you go.
At least some people have taste.
Okay, that does it for the Hermione.
Oh my
region.
Gosh,
yeah,
these
pretty
regions
brief.
Are so tiny now.
That's what happens.
The next one's just going to be one each.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm scared.
We're, next week, we will be choosing the champions of each region.
Oh.
Wow.
And they will advance to the final four.
So that's going
to
be Luna versus Brienne of Tarth.
Yeah.
Jeez, what a weird lineup.
Stay another tuned. Fantasy off. Jeez.
Yeah, stay tuned after all the results are announced, because we're going to talk a little bit about the coming matchups. I think it's going to be kind
good
of
idea.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But now we're moving on to the Buffy region. Buffy Summers of Buffy the Vampire Slayer fame.
It's like our kick butt region. I don't know.
Right.
Butt kickery.
Oh. Okay, moving on. Game three.
Okay, moving on.
Leia Organa from Star Wars. Be she princess, be she general, she is always Leia. Versus Korra from The Legend of Korra.
Guys, I have feelings about this.
Please don't cry.
James, tell me about your feels.
So, I obviously love Star Wars, and Leia, over all of her iterations, the way I've seen her, I mean, I've read Expanded Universe books, I've watched the original movies, you know, I saw the new movie. There's just something important. And when I talk to, like, my parents and, like, my mother-in-law, you know, people who saw this character for the first time were just like, you know, like, people were just blown away. There just weren't a character that's a princess, and then she's like, well, I guess I gotta rescue you guys, you know. Just so rough around the edges, and so forward, and so, you know, it just, there weren't a lot of characters like that in sci-fi at the time. But at the same time, I love Korra. There's something about The Legend of Korra, the series, and the character as a whole, that I think it's in perfectness makes it just so wonderful. You know, Korra as a character being, you know, so imperfect and rough around the edges and you know, really trying to find her place as the series kind of struggled with ups and downs, just makes it even more endearing and makes her, like, a stronger character. And it's her show. You know what I mean? Like, she is the center point. She is the focus of that story and that agency. And I just... I'm going to be honest. I didn't vote in this round. I couldn't choose.
No.
James,
I'm so
I hate
sorry.
To tell you, I know you love her, but I don't think she's your type. I don't think you're her type.
What? No, not like that.
Rip. Ripperoni.
I kind of feel where James is coming from on this one. But I did vote, and I went for Korra. And
what?
I did.
Defend yourself, sir.
I'm betrayed.
I went for Korra for a few reasons.
In my own home?
Yeah.
You voted against Leia in my home?
The reason I went for Korra is, like, there's... I always go back to one of the scenes that... And it's still one of the most emotionally impactful scenes that I've ever seen in cartoons or cinema or any visual medium. As just that... The ending of season 3, when Korra is crippled from the fight.
Oh, spoilers.
Spoilers, sorry. And it's just that moment of, like, you know, everyone's telling her, oh, you've done enough. It's okay. You saved the world, like, three times over at this point. And, like, and all the airbenders are coming together and say, no, we'll watch everything from now on. And, like, there's just this moment when you look, like, at her face, and it's like, oh, my God. Like, all the things I've strived to be, and it's just, it's gone. And there's so much emotion in that moment because she's gone through these journey and gone through all of this and finally reached that point where she stood up, became everything she wanted to be, and in an instant it was gone, and someone else said, no, it's okay, we'll take care of it. And that blew me away. Like, I was in tears looking at her face. Because all of these emotions had to go through. It was this idea of someone went up there and this was a kind gesture. It was like, oh my God, you're recovering. It's all right. And like, oh my God, like so much what happened in that one scene, in that one shot of that episode. And then watching her journey of recovery in season 4 to eventually take on greater odds and greater things and go through a completely different journey than the ones she had gone through before. Like, I love Leia. I do. But this impacted me. This emotionally invested me far beyond my expectations. And again, I said, like, I cried at the end of season 3 to the point, like, you know, like, freaking bawled, because that's painful, and I felt it. And I guess, because I said, like, that's why I voted for her, like, that emotional investment.
You know, I own every episode of Avatar The Last Airbender on DVD. They did a big show thing a couple of years ago where they put out the entire original show on a marathon, only there were, like, little text tidbits in the corner of the screen, and I sat and marathoned the entire thing. I love Avatar The Last Airbender. And when Korra came out, I was really excited because I think y'all are right. She's a really important character as a concept. When I saw they were making the Avatar a girl and exactly the kind of girl she was, you know, she was a waterbender, and she was from the southern tribe. Everything about her, to me, was like, wow, that's a really cool character to create. This is a really awesome way to pass on that torch. And then I watched season 1, and at no point was I emotionally involved. I couldn't feel anything for any character. I was so bored by every monotonous love triangle that, you know, the main character, being a girl, I guess, had to be involved in. I didn't want to watch the rest of the seasons, and I know from everyone around me that the rest of the seasons are much better, much more engaging. But the first season to me was just so dry and flammable, I didn't want to continue it. But Leia, I don't even like Star Wars. I don't even like Star Wars. I don't like Star Wars, but Leia has always been an iconic sort of character in the background of, that's a princess with a gun in space. I'm really into it. Like, She gets involved with one of the other main characters, but not until the end. Like, she was a cool character. She was a princess with a gun in my childhood, and I have a Princess Leia costume from when I was, like, 5 that I wore trick-or-treating. I like Leia, even if I don't like Star Wars. Korra's about all I got for Korra, but I don't even feel it that much.
Yeah, if there's one argument I can put forward for Leia, it's hair by Cinnabon. I mean, how can you argue with that?
True.
And this was one of those, the only
you're going to break my heart either way. Just do it. Rip the band-aid off.
This is the only match that we had that was a blowout.
I'm ready to fight.
It, you know, the public vote was pretty close, but our fans went in one very decisive direction. And that led to a hands-down commanding victory by a margin of more than 3-1 votes.
Wow.
Princess Leia advances to the next round.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Like I said, if there's someone I'm going to pick to win it all, it's Leia. And rightly so. You know, I can absolutely love...
If I was going to pick one to win it all, I'd put it on Rey.
Yeah. Rey? You think so?
Yeah, I like Rey. I like her a lot more than I like Leia. Leia is a great character.
Well, Rey's coming up.
Yeah, Rey's coming up. Love that girl. And I said it last week. Rey is the hot up-and-coming new prospect. She's got a lot of future to her. But this is Leia's year. This is the year, last year we lost Carrie Fisher. This year we're going to get what's probably going to be the last Leia story ever, mm-hmm. at least on the big screen.
Yeah.
And I think she's the one to beat this year. It's going to be real tough to stop her. But who might do it this week? Well, we've got the winner of Game 4. She's Peg Bundy from Married with Children. Oh, wait, I read that wrong. I'm sorry.
That was Peggy a different Carter, one.
Peggy Carter from Agent Carter and Marvel Comics versus Moana from Moana. Couldn't be bothered to come up with a better title for that, I guess.
I suppose. Yeah.
Moana. So, any thoughts?
I haven't seen either of these.
James?
I'm sorry.
I guess, so I'm not super like, this is a fun round, but it's not like I'm not super emotionally invested. I'm not going to lie. The other people that kind of got beat to get here, like Judy Hopps and Leslie Knope, mm-hmm. had a lot more impact on me. But I will say a couple of things. Moana is a really great movie, and I think it does kind of what people praise Frozen for doing so well. And I like Frozen, but, you know, it really feels
like...
Yeah. It really feels like a story that, you know, is actually about a character who is not connected to, you know, like a man and a princess and like actually is doing those things kind of like Brave did, you know, in a way that, you know, isn't the center of it. Moana's really great and she's a great character and she's a character that has agency from the very beginning and that's awesome. But Peggy Carter has become a really important character in the Marvel Universe and even his... gone, I think, a lot farther from the character she was in Captain America, the First Avenger, mm-hmm. which, you know, as cool and neat as a character as she was still kind of a Captain America second, number two. With the series, we really got to take her a lot farther where we saw her in a light that makes her interesting and powerful and important in the Marvel Universe. If I had to give an edge, I'd say I think Moana might be a little more important because hopefully a character like that has a good effect on, you know, young people going forward and about agency and about achieving your dreams and about how, you know, you can do that on your own. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, my psychic powers are telling me that the winner is going to be a character who is under the Disney umbrella.
Yeah, probably.
And the winner is Moana.
Hey!
Yay!
I mean, as much as I enjoy Peggy Carter, as much as I think that series does a lot to talk about that time period and feminism in general and, you know, what people had to deal with, Moana is just, I think that's a powerful film. And it's done a lot to be a huge, impactful thing in the same, hopefully in the same way Frozen was before. So, I'm not surprised by this victory.
I think Moana is an equally important depiction of its time period. Hawaii.
Yeah, there you go. The time period of Hawaii. That was a time period.
Yeah, sure. But yeah, that's a good one. So look forward to that, and looking forward to Leia versus Moana.
Ripperoni.
Another okay. Disney umbrella, just using those psychic powers.
There's a lot of Disney umbrella going on in this tournament.
Pete, soon everything will be under the Disney umbrella.
Indeed, I'm under the Disney umbrella.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a Dumbo umbrella. So.
Oh, okay.
Hey.
There we go.
Anyway, moving right along to the Sarah Connor region. Which we have labeled the Connors region, which is not her name. It's Sarah Connor.
I'm so sorry.
No worries. That was Frank before you. And we've dealt with Frank.
Go on.
Game 5. Lisa Simpson from The Simpsons. Never heard of it. Versus Professor McGonagall from Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm. you know, I love Professor McGonagall. I do. I think she's a really great character. But when it comes down to it, how can I not vote for Lisa Simpson? She's been around forever, and she's from every angle. She's such a great character, you know? They've had episodes where she's had to deal with feminism and misogyny, and then episodes where she is just a good character and a fun character without having to deal with any aspects of sexism. So from any angle you look at her, this is a fun character. This is an interesting and important character, and I love her. How could I not vote for Lisa Simpson?
You're going to vote for Lisa over Maggie?
Yes.
Dame Maggie Smith?
Who's Maggie?
Huh? Dame Maggie Smith. Please.
Professor McGonagall.
She wasn't in a classic Konami arcade game. So, yeah, I went Lisa.
You're voting...
Excuse you, it was also available on the Commodore 64.
Okay.
Get good, scrub.
Professor McGonagall wasn't in the arcade game either, though.
I just think Professor McGonagall, I think, falls in that category of, like, you know more about her... from the books, but I mean, she's super important to the Harry Potter universe and has a lot of heart and strength as a character. And none of our characters, Hermione, Harry, Ron, Luna, none of these characters really get to where they are without a strong presence like Professor McGonagall. We sure heck know it's not coming from Dumbledore. So,
and it's not like she's, you know, just a teacher. I don't want to belittle teachers in any way, but in addition to guiding these characters, she is a strong character in her own right. You know, she stands up and fights against evil whenever she sees it, and she does it all with a grace and aplomb that can't be matched by anyone.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I would absolutely agree. Great character.
And, you know, Lisa's 8.
And accomplished so much.
And accomplished so much.
Over the, what, like 20 years that she's
been alive? How many corporations has Lisa destroyed single-handedly in an episode for fun?
Most of them are Mr. Burns.
So. I mean, true.
To be fair.
And you can't kill Mr. Burns. He's Mr. Burns.
He's that or the rich Texan. But this was an interesting one. Because our fans and the general public completely disagreed on this.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, the public voted in a landslide for Professor McGonagall.
Oh, Minerva.
Whereas the non-productive fans voted in a landslide for Lisa Simpson. And as we've warned you all in the past, those of you who actually take time to listen to our podcasts and get the secret word and vote via our super secret website... You get your votes counted early and more.
A lot more.
A lot more. And as a result of that, Lisa Simpson moves on to the next round.
Damn right. Oh, damn right. Oh.
Hell yeah.
It just feels right.
Bless our fans.
I can't.
Shout out to y'all. It's a kissy noise. Just for y'all.
So I think actually now is a great time to give out the word of the
week. That's what I was about to say. I think now is a great time. You've been listening for a while. The secret word of the week is
saxophone.
I like that word.
In honor of Lisa, it is saxophone.
Hell yeah!
All caps, all right. Saxophone.
All
pretty
caps,
sure I know how to spell that.
Scream saxophone into the word box.
Cool. All right.
That's not how that works at all.
I'm
type 70% it into your computer.
Sure, I know how to spell that. Thank you.
I think we all know how writing works, and if you do it in all caps, that is screaming. Game six. Tof Bai Fong. Did I get that right?
Nope.
Tof Bai Fong.
Tof.
Tof. Point O.
Tof. Toph Beifong, who will...
Okay.
If she survives, this will be the last Avatar character in the competition?
Yes, it will. Yeah.
She will be the last airbender.
Well,
she bends Earth. The last Earthbender. Earth.
She bends things. Is she
the last Earthbender.
Is she on Avatar?
Yes.
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 And last airbender. Look, just be happy I didn't make a Pandora reference.
Okay.
I will.
And now I've ruined that. But it's her from that... versus Mulan from Mulan.
Oh, this is a tough one. They're both really great characters, and they fit into the sort of the same kind of reasons of why I really like their characters if we boil down to it. Like, this isn't like like some of the other realms where it's like I like these characters in completely different ways, like a lot of the reasons I really like these characters are really similar, and I'm not sure which one I like more because I like them both a lot.
Yeah, I guess if I'd have to throw anything with shade against Mulan, I'd want to say like her story does kind of have to end up with some sort of traditional love story, but even that is kind of interesting because like he's kind of totally digging her when she's, you know, a dude.
And
so.
I mean, I'd also throw out that the beginning of her story was her going to be, you know, a wife and everything with the matchmaker. Like she was throwing away her chance to find someone that she cared about, and at the end she got it. And I do think that that is important. You don't always have to have a character with a girl that doesn't end up with someone, you know? It's not all like by itself immediately make it a good feminist story. There are ways to make that important, and I think Mulan really nailed that one.
I would totally agree.
I think that at the end of the day, as much as I like Mulan the film, I'm going to go back to the same argument I made during the Korra and Leia fight, which is Toph gave me an emotional investment. That watching that character, and it's easy to give her the Daredevil argument of like, oh well, you know, she's blind and still awesome, and you know, representing an entire group of people that lack representation in media and need to be in there more often and show how capable they can be. It's more so than that. It's about, once again, the journey that character takes on the idea of her family believing that she is not capable of these things.
Her fragility because she's blind and because she's a girl and because she's a child.
Yeah, and exactly. It's all those moments where they sort of look down and say, well, wait, no. We've seen how strong you can be, but that just means you need to be even more protected. And no, she goes out there and goes on that journey with all the other characters, and that's something that's relatable and understandable. It's something that matters to me emotionally.
And then I'm going to add another level to that. It's great to see the character not glorified then. You know, later on in The Legend of Korra, we realize that Toph might have been a crappy mother. That's okay.
Actually, yeah, she was.
Yeah. You know, but it's nice to see, like, a lot of times when we get these sequel series and we get these characters that have been risen larger than life, they don't, you know, like, even sometimes, like, with a character like Leia or a character like this or a character like that, we have trouble then giving them faults, you know, later on.
Yeah.
They're just kind of, like, infallible. And that's really cool that character isn't, you know, that character can be really crappy at some things.
I'm glad everybody feels very strongly because we've got a winner in this contest.
I'm crying already. This tear streaming down my face.
And you all are really going to enjoy it when you get to see more of this character in her brand new movie, which is coming out next year, Mulan.
Oh, I'm up for this. Mulan.
Mulan advances.
I'm sorry, Toph. I'm going to miss you. I think I voted for Toph. I actually don't know which character I voted for because I love them both so much. Mulan was like a formative year thing, like favorite Disney princess movie I watched many, 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 many times as a child. And then Toph was just like a character that I loved as a teenager and still love today. I mean, I still love Mulan, but like just... Yeah. I couldn't pick one. How could I pick between them?
Oh, well, you're going to be very sad because next week you're going to have to pick between Lisa Simpson and Mulan.
I'm crying.
So this is really interesting. So we've seen here, we had like a big Avatar fan base kind of come out like in the seating, in the ranking, in the voting of our competition. And rightly so. Avatar is full of a ton of great characters, a ton of great female characters. So it's kind of, I don't want to say crazy, because, I mean, this is how it goes, but, I mean, you know, to see that staying power didn't last throughout our competition as these newer characters come up against maybe some of these bigger heavy hitters, the Lisa Simpsons, the Leias, the Mulans, you know, these staples of women in fiction.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that wraps it up for the Connor region.
Mm-hmm.
And we now move on to our final region, the Ripley region. This is these are a couple contentious ones, so let's jump right in.
I'm scared.
Game 7 is Rey from Star Wars: The Force Awakens and Star Wars: The Last Jedi, presumably.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would hope she's in there. She's in all the promotional material.
You know what? I don't. Surprise. I say until the credit crawl starts, we don't know for sure. But it is Rey from Star Wars versus Daria from Daria and Beavis and Butthead. I would like to point out, as one of our voters did.
So I really love Rey. I I know that there like was a big backlash on the internet that I think was totally BS.
It was.
Yeah, they were dumb. Ray is awesome.
Ray is really awesome. I think all that BS talk about Mary Sue characters and that sort of stuff is really just throwing shade. I like Rey. I think she's an awesome addition to Star Wars, a great protagonist. And I gotta be honest, I have no connection to Daria at all.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Even though I didn't vote for Rey, I will throw my defense into Daria for a little bit here and say, like, Daria was the voice of a generation. Maybe you didn't know that, but she was.
Oh, she was the voice for the silent.
I mean, so much.
I think the creators knew that.
Yeah, I mean, like, Daria, like, came at a time in many people's lives when they needed some kind of representation of themselves that they didn't have.
What'd she do?
Rey was, like, this...
Rey?
Sorry, excuse me. Sorry, Daria.
Thank you, Ray, for being the voice of the generation.
You can tell I do love Ray more. I do. But as much as a defense I can throw on Daria, it's that Daria came at a time for a lot of people in their high school years that didn't feel like they had a voice and were not fitting into the stereotypical molds that were there. And this was a new concept at the time. I know we were all filled with misfits and whatever, and Big Bang Theory showed up, and wonderful.
Okay, we don't talk about that.
Yeah, we don't need to. But Daria came in there and had very real stories about real things that happened. And one of the moments that really kind of is a big thing in that series is, like, there's a moment when someone who's kind of not a good person in that show just, like, dies. And, like, the characters have to kind of deal with it, and it's really weird. Like, and it's very real because it's like, we didn't like this person. In fact, nobody did. But them, like, passing away is just not a good thing, and we're all really awkward and don't know how to feel about this. And this is
when Jabba the Hutt died in Return of the Jedi.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
The difficult feelings there.
Yeah,
difficult feelings.
And it dealt with so many issues like that as throughout the series went through. And also people growing up and having to go to college, then realizing that, man, the same shtick isn't going to work anymore. I need to... Not just grow, it's not that I don't need to grow up, it's just that I need to become more than what I believed myself to be.
I think to raise a new character, and we haven't really seen Rey's lasting effects, you can see the influences of a show like Daria, you know, on the people who liked it. I mean, there's a ton of really great Daria references and stuff in a show I love, BoJack Horseman, has a lot of, you know, inspiration from that, as well as other cartoons from around the time that were dealing with sort of the same stuff. You know, so Daria has had a lasting impression, even if it's a more subtle one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another important thing to remember is that we've really got a solid grasp on who Daria is.
Yeah.
Like, we know the depths of Daria's character.
We went through her entire story from beginning to end already.
We don't know... When you stop and think about it, we really don't know that much about Rey. Rey, as a character, really we've got that kind of you know, high school crush on, I'd say. Not a romantic way.
Yeah,
like,
I know what you mean.
In a character way.
She's
the cool new kid. Everybody wants... wants to get on board this bandwagon, but we still have a lot to learn about her.
I mean, you could say that, but I mean, I, again, famously, as I've said many times, don't like Star Wars and have never liked Star Wars, but I went and I saw the 7th movie with my family. I think it came out over Christmas or something.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect to leave that movie theater happy, but I saw that movie and I loved that character, and she was essentially the big reason. Well, I like Finn too, but she was essentially the reason why I went, I think I actually might like Star Wars, and if there's any reason I'm going to go back and watch any of the other Star Wars movies, it was because I was invested in the story she went through, I cared about the things she went through, and I want to see more of her, and I want to understand the context of her existence in this universe. And it was just purely that character and how she was portrayed and how interesting she was, and I bet that character's eaten dirt at some point in her life, just like me, and that is true representation, if I've ever seen it.
I think Rey is a good hook that we still need to have the whole song play out on. But none of that really matters because the voters have the say on this one.
Right.
And the winner, hands down, is Rey.
Yay!
What a surprise!
The Star Wars juggernaut keeps rolling along. Sorry, Daria.
It was expected.
But
sorry, Daria, but I really want to see Leia and Rey face off.
Ye who were born of Beavis and Butthead have, you know, the cards stacked against you.
You can only go so far when you're in a TV show. Yeah.
Okay, so our final matchup of the week.
Don't keep me in suspense any
game
longer.
Game 8 is Sansa Stark from Game of Thrones versus 11 from Stranger Things.
I'm not a big fan of Sansa Stark. Again, it's not that I'm not a big fan of Sansa Stark. I'm so jaded from Game of Thrones. I went over that with Brienne of Tarth, but I'm still here and I'm still jaded.
I mean, absolutely, Game of Thrones, bad show.
Yeah, but I think 11 is just cool. And I think sometimes that should be enough to say that here enters into this, like, kid character who's not annoying, who's not, like, something that we don't feel is a lack of a representation of a child that is a child, and dealing with having superpowers and stuff and being in an unbelievably horrible situation and kind of really coming out on top because she's incredibly loved by a very large fan base and pulls that show together in a really good way.
You know, I just guess for me, it's about a lack of character depth. I love Stranger Things. It was a lot of fun despite some problems.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the characters, all the kids were really enjoyable, which is tough. But I mean, we know so little about 11. I'm going to say if there's a story that needs to play out, explanation like Pete said from Rey, I think it's even more so with 11.
I agree completely.
You know, I don't know anything about her and her personality, and I think we're going to see that built over, you know, the story going forward. As compared to Sansa, you know, say what you will about her, but the story that Sansa has gone through and what she brings to the table, you know, and in a subtle way is impressive. We haven't all been there. We haven't all been able to deal with what Sansa's been able to deal with, but the fact that there's you know, a representation of that. You know, and it's different in the show to the books. You know, they do some things in the show that are a little different, maybe not as good, but Sansa is a strong character. I don't think you don't have to be Arya to be strong. You can be subtle and strong.
Oh, absolutely. And not to step on Sansa as a character, because I do think that Sansa is strong in a completely different way than a lot of characters are. And people tend to measure a character's strength in how many things they can punch or how many people they can kill. And I think her strength is in different ways. It's in a lot of other character arcs, and I think those things are important. But I do want to point out that while characters like Rey or Eleven maybe haven't had as much time, look at other very popular characters like, say, Boba Fett. What did Boba Fett literally ever do and yet become one of the most popular characters of all time? He literally never did a single thing. You could cut him out of the movies.
But he looked so awesome.
Exactly.
Not doing it.
And maybe that's just enough. Eleven looked cool. She did some cool shit. She threw monsters around the room, and her nose bled, and she was awesome, and people were like, I love it. I'm super into it. And maybe that's all you need to be a really cool and interesting character that makes people want to see more. And maybe that's enough.
I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. I think depth is overrated. I think it's an unpopular thing to say, but I think it's true.
I don't think that I entirely agree with that.
Okay.
But I'm not also entirely knocking what Nate says.
Yeah. I think at this point, 11 in Stranger Things in the story so far has barely become more than a weapon.
I would disagree with that wholeheartedly. And
yeah,
I don't
too,
even
actually.
Like Stranger Things.
Fair
you
enough.
Ready to fight? Because I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go.
Well, I think we can all agree that Sansa Stark has been through the ringer.
Yes.
Yes.
And she's had a lot of obstacles to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And that should serve her well in dealing with her defeat at the hands of 11.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Like I said, I think that at the end of the day, she's an interesting character,
This is another one of those matches that was decided, we had a landslide in one way from the public and a landslide in the other from the fans.
Mm.
And again, because of the extra weight that our fans' votes carry, 11 was the one that came out on top.
Nice.
And super not to knock Sansa, of great character, very interesting character, but at the end of the day, you put both those characters in front of me, and which one do I want to see again? 11.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. So that does it for the Sweet 16.
It was an emotional ride.
Rip in peace, everyone. We'll miss you.
Yeah,
it was. It was. It was tough.
I cried. I felt anger. I felt joy, and I felt redemption.
I laughed. I cried. I kissed $3 goodbye. Anyway, so there you go. There you have it. Let's take a look forward to next week. The Elite Eight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's fighting?
Let's see. Over in the Hermione bracket, we are going to have Luna Lovegood from Harry Potter versus Brienne of Tarth from Game of Thrones.
It's
going
to be an interesting one, I think.
It's another fantasy book fight, like I was saying before, and I'm interested to see where that goes because, I mean, Luna's just got such a hype train behind her at this point. I mean, like I said, this is where the dark horses start showing up, and I think Luna is the dark horse to bet on in this competition.
It comes down to these are two characters that are strong in completely different ways, so mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting sort of thing to see which one comes out on top.
I got to say, based on the trends I've seen, I would have to say I give the edge to Luna.
I do, too.
I just feel of the two characters, there's going to be our fan base is going to pull a little bit more towards Luna. I think this is going to be another tight one in the Hermione bracket.
Yep.
This past week, we had two dead heats. Both Luna versus Eowyn and Brienne versus Donna.
Yep.
Were a matter of single digit votes difference between winning and losing. And I don't see that changing. I think the Hermione bracket was a very strong region, mm-hmm. and it's not going to stop.
No, I don't think so either.
So, yeah, going to be real interesting to see how that plays out. Over in the Buffy bracket, Buffy region. Keep saying bracket. We're not sports folks, people.
No.
Sports ball.
But we've got Moana. From Moana versus
Riding that hype train.
Somebody. Somebody. Doesn't even really matter.
Is it Leia?
Leia Organa from Star Wars.
Rip in peace. I'll miss you, Moana.
This is where the hype train ends.
I'm still telling you, my bets, Leia's taking it all. And you know, I think rightfully so, but we'll see.
Yeah. I think I agree with you. My money is on Leia. I do think she can be upset. I don't think it is a lock for Leia.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are a few characters left that can do it.
Yeah, and I can almost guarantee that Moana is not the one that's going to do it.
No, probably not.
Too new, too...
Moana had some luck, I think, and some heartstrings because she's new.
Yeah.
And it's great. I'm so happy for her that she made it this far.
Oh, yeah.
But... This is where the Cinderella story stops, or the Moana story stops. Okay. Moving on to the Sarah Connor region. We have Lisa Simpson versus Mulan. Well, only one of them has a sword, so...
Jesus, this is tough. And it's weird because, like, I have great and wonderful respect for both these characters. It's hard for me to get incredibly emotionally invested in them.
I literally don't even know who I'm going to vote for.
I didn't see Mulan until I was, like, about to leave high school, which was, like, 5 years after it came out, I think. And I'm like, I have no, like, emotional attachment to this. I didn't see it when I was a kid. And The Simpsons was only tangentially there. I just know Lisa from the Konami arcade game.
I'm not big into The Simpsons. Mulan all the way.
I don't even know. I love them both so much. I love Lisa.
Compare the body of work. You got to give it to Lisa.
Yeah, there's a lot more to go through there.
Yeah, but at the same time, Mulan was a really cool and important character. And I wasn't allowed to watch Simpsons when I was 9, but I was allowed to watch Mulan.
Mulan's got 2 or 3 very interesting character notes. Lisa Simpson is a jazz saxophone improvisation. I don't think there's a competition.
Yeah.
I think this is especially looking at the numbers on last week, Lisa was a blowaway hit.
Yeah.
Mulan had good support at best. I think it's going to be hard to overcome Lisa in this one.
It'd be nice if she won.
Sure, why not? But
I mean, huh? Yeah, I think I would vote for Lisa over Leia, but I don't know if I would vote for Mulan over Leia.
Interesting.
Huh. Troubling.
Go.
Moving on, we've got one last region that's left to be decided next week.
Oh my!
And that is the Ripley region. With Rey versus 11.
Oh, rough.
Two rookies coming up against each other.
You could say rookies, but, I mean, you look at the reach Stranger Things has, and then look at the reach that Rey has had, because I can't walk into Walmart without seeing her face.
Yeah. I mean, these are both characters that technically do suffer from the things that Pete was saying before about
really
the guy.
I
mean, I was like, by Pete's argument, I'll say 11 definitely doesn't suffer from that thing. I feel she had a conclusive story in that entire season. Rey, I'll see a little bit more as to, like, yeah, there's... as much as that was definitely... As opposed to the original Star Wars, Force Awakens definitely is a part of a trilogy, and I would like to see the rest of those films to have a complete and utter thing on what Rey is, but just by the first film alone, I mean, it's a really good character, so it's just, you know... I mean, that could get ruined later on, but let me have this. You know, let me have it. Let me have this for now until that happens. But, yeah.
Well, you're not happy with the fact that Rey is a clone of Emperor Palpatine?
Oh,
I should have spoiler alerted.
No, that. It's just, can we forget about the expanded universe? I mean, clearly Disney did.
Well, obviously that's not true.
Oh.
I guess you're right.
No.
Obviously, by expanded universe logic, she's not a clone of Palpatine.
Yeah.
Because her name isn't Rey. They didn't double up the vowels in her name.
Obviously.
By the way, one of my favorite jokes, and I have to repeat it now, is, can you imagine if they cloned Chewbacca?
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's a vowel sandwich for you. So, yeah, Rey versus 11... That's going to be one to watch.
Yeah, that's the fight.
I think that's a straight landslide. I don't think there's any question on who's coming away here.
I mean, I don't know. There's some Stranger Things fans that are going to come out there.
I mean, that's
there
true.
And...
I thought you were about to say Stranger Things have happened.
All right, good night, everybody.
Oh, James. I do agree with that. I think that is an excellent place to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Tune in again same time next week, where we are going to reveal the winners of the Elite Eight round four.
Mm-hmm.
Remember,
fan vote
should be right at the bottom of the page you're looking at, or just turn over to non-productive.com if you got this from some kind of weird old podcasting catcher machine thing. I don't know how these things work. But non-productive.com, you're going to go on. Those of you who have listened to this will be have the opportunity to enter the secret word and vote early, which makes your vote count more.
The secret
Remember,
word.
This could, the balance of power lies with you.
Get those sweet numbers.
So do vote early. Don't vote often. We don't really like that, and we can check.
The power is within you.
But if you do put in that that secret word, your vote will count more, so you don't have to vote often. We made it more convenient for you, actually.
Exactly. There you go.
And, like I said, tune in next week, where we'll give you the winners.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.